Before I begin my homily, I just thought I'd speak briefly about myself. I was born and raised in Scarborough, also called Scarberia, and for most of my life, actually for my younger years especially, I was an atheist, but then having a conversion, I entered RCIA, and in 1997, I was received into full in the Catholic Church. And of course, it was a very beautiful experience, and many people came up to me and suggested to me that I should consider the priesthood, particularly the pastor, the late Father Joe McCormick at St. Thomas More. He said to me, "Tom, I really want you to think about a vocation to the priesthood." And I very piously bowed my head and clasped my hands, and I said, "Well, thank you, Father, I'll pray about that." Inside I was thinking, I don't know, women are way too pretty. But the idea began to take hold, and sometime afterwards, I met and spoke with my very first spiritual director, Father Tom Lynch. He tried as best as he could with me. I did a vocation journey for a while, and I joined a community in Combermere called Madonna House. I was with them for 9 years. But I felt called to parish priesthood, so with the blessing of the community, I left Madonna House, and I ended up joining the seminary in September 2010 to study for the priesthood of Toronto. And I will be ordained on April 30th. In today's readings, the three readings today point to one message. Our salvation, our relationship to Christ, is not just about God and I. It is about God, the Church, and I. We are not in this by ourselves, and we are not in this for ourselves. However, there's, of course, many who claim that there is no need for the Church, or for any of what is dismissively referred to as organized religion. After all, people would say, if God is everywhere, why do I need to go to church for? Life with God is seen as an individual affair. And there is, of course, a certain amount of truth to this. God indeed is everywhere, and we do need to have a personal relationship with Him in prayer. We always want to know God is close to us and God hears our prayers and that we can pray to Him. And of course, that is why in the lives of great saints like Francis of Assisi, they have a great attraction to us because the way of their lives, they show great intimacy with God themselves. But if we consider the readings, the one from with the prophet Ezra in it from Nehemiah, we can see organized religion is very much the order of the day when the prophet Ezra calls forth the assembly to read the book of the law, the Torah. The Israelites had just returned after their deportation from Babylon to Jerusalem. Now God's chosen are once again gathered into Jerusalem to hear the word of the Lord. It was not enough for them just to return from Babylon. Until they were gathered together again as one body, as one assembly, to hear the Lord and to praise Him, it was only then that they could be said to resume their lives. And even though they were no doubt sad to be back in Jerusalem after the ruin of the deportation, the prophet Ezra reminds them that this is a happy occasion. They are together again as God's people, together to worship to Him and to listen to His word. And this is why they must rejoice and not weep. But it is fitting that our life in Christ is an affair of community and communion, because God at his heart, his very essence of his being, is a communion of three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the greatest mystery of all, the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity, three divine persons in one God. In the very center of his being, God lives as a communion, and it is this very same communion we were joined to when we were baptized. And this is the deep mystery St. Paul points to in 1 Corinthians, when he states that all were baptized into one body, and all were made to drink of the same Spirit. Life in Christ, life in his mystical body, is literally a corporate affair. The word corporation is derived from the Latin word corpus, meaning the body. St. Paul goes on with his discussion of the body to show how each part must be differentiated. The hand is not the foot, and the ear is not the eye, in order that the entire body can function. Picture a room filled with different body parts, eyes, ears, hands, and so on, sort of like a cryogenic lab, if you will. They're all neatly arranged and frozen, but no matter how many parts there are, they would have no life. The many members of the body are useless, and they have no purpose until they become part of one body. This, of course, you could say is a blinding glimpse of the obvious, after all. But this is what many Christians forget when they are united into the mystical body. It is not just about God and I, but also us and God. Christians split off into fragments, each being their own church of the nose and a church of the ear and a church of the hand, and so on. St. Paul writes about how absurd it would be if the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, and so on. Only together, united in a living body, can the parts have life and help and serve one another. St. Paul then goes on to speak of the different parts of the body of Christ. Some are teachers, some have gifts for healing, some are leaders, and so on. And have no doubt, my brothers and sisters in Christ, each and every one of us here does have a gift given by the Holy Spirit. And we should pray that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to these gifts and how they may be used in service of the church, of the mystical body of Christ. The Lord Jesus means to gather all of us within his mystical body, the church, so that all our talents may be of help and service to each other as we journey to our heavenly homeland. And indeed, this week, which comes to its climax tomorrow, has been dedicated as a week of prayer to Christian unity. And as it was in the time of Ezra, so it is now, we have the great privilege to gather together as the people of God to listen to his word. The opening of the Gospel of Mark tells us that it was set down in an orderly account so that we might know the things which we have been instructed about. That is, of course, about the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. When the Lord appears in the synagogue, he was doing as it had been done for countless centuries, to speak the word of God within the assembly. This time, of course, there was a huge difference. The Word incarnate himself was there to proclaim the scripture, which he did from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news to the poor. And so when we are gathered together into this church and can listen to his word and partake of his body and blood, we too may say with the Lord Jesus, As he said of the prophet Isaiah, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing."